For years, I hated waking up. You hear me? Fucking hated it. It wasn't about shaking off the remnants of sleep. It wasn't about facing up to the regrets of the night before or the creeping anxiety about the unknowns of a new day. My hatred dwelled always in being in the then, the there. I didn't want to be awake or near anyone. In fact, I just didn't want to be. From about 1995 through the early 2000s, I wrestled with deep depression, thoughts of suicide, and a relapse into the alcohol abuse I thought I'd left behind years earlier. During that time, my being awake meant struggling to be me for one more day. It meant grappling with the pain and the uncertainty that I felt had come to define my life. It meant another day of the sort of quiet, desperate frustration that had seeped into my soul at a time when most people figured I should be basking in the glow of a life well lived. My depression came in the form of being disappointed by the life I had created for myself. I was surrounded by friends I felt did not care about me. My voice was giving out on me. I felt empty inside. And as bad as all this was, it didn't compare to the most traumatizing blow in my life, a revelation that rocked me to the very core of my identity. In 2000, I found out I was adopted. I had been damaged and been damaging myself well before I got that news, however. Depression had been shadowing me for at least half a decade by then, forcing me to endure a stomach-churning turbulence of mixed emotions that seemed to explode and whirl and collide inside of me almost from the moment I opened my eyes. One minute I was angry, then regretful, then resentful, then scared, and depressed, always depressed. My constant companion, depression had crept in from seemingly every direction over several years of my life. A dark and indelible ink spread like graffiti along the crumbling walls of my battered psyche. Waking up meant facing those walls yet again, watching the cracks in them spread, and knowing there wasn't a damn thing I could do about it. And worse, there wasn't a damn thing I wanted to do about it. To me, waking up just meant that I wasn't dead yet. That's how it came to be that, for nearly 5 years of my life, I contemplated killing myself almost daily. Most of us wake up, roll out of bed, and get on with our day. But for others, it's an everyday struggle to face life. All over the world, hundreds of thousands of people grapple with the thoughts of ending their life by their own hands. They've given up, surrendered to the pain of a tragedy, or the darkness of depression, or the aches of a physical ailment. They see no way out other than through death. Back in the day, I was similarly blinded. I suffered all this in silence, which is the worst thing to do if you want relief. I avoided people because I wanted to make sure that nobody really knew what I was going through. I didn't know how to express my pain, my anger. Not only did I bottle up my feelings, but I also made sure that I kept myself far enough away from everyone, regardless of whether they loved me or not, so that nobody could ever get an accurate gauge on how deep my despair ran. I withdrew into isolation because I couldn't cope with the anger and frustration that were driving me to want to hurt myself. I convinced myself that, whether I articulated my hurt or not, the pain would never go away. Just as crazily as with many people who are suicidal, I actually thought I'd be doing the people around me and myself a favor if I committed suicide. The biggest reason for my withdrawal was my vocal troubles and the problems that stemmed from them. While I was afraid of what it meant to lose my voice, who needs a rapper who can't rap? Part of my depression was rooted in not knowing why my voice had deteriorated. It wasn't until 1999, after a battery of tests, that doctors even figured out that I suffered from a rare form of spasmodic dysphonia. Most people with the condition experience vocal cord spasms when their voice box either contracts or expands. For whatever reason, my throat spasms when my vocal cords do either. Even before doctors diagnosed the condition, though, I knew enough about it to believe that it had made me useless. I couldn't rhyme. All I could do was stand around wearing a fucking hat.